Hello and welcome to another episode of the Sirs Group podcast. I am Barbara.
And I'm JC.
And we are here today to talk to you about vasoactive intestinal peptide. Did I say that right? It's VIP
Yeah.
spray, everybody. And better known as VIP spray. So that is what we're tackling today. And as always, our little disclaimer, we are not doctors. This is not medical advice. We are patients. We have SIRS. We've read the textbook. We do a lot of research, probably more than you are willing to do, which is why we like to bring you the bite-size important info in this way, but as always, talk to your doctor about all things, especially VIP spray, which is available by prescription only anyway.
So, vasoactive intestinal peptide nasal spray. Like from now on, we're just going to call it VIP. We're
Yes.
done with that.
Yes, please.
it is the last step, typically, to the Shoemaker protocol. So, the Shoemaker protocol, the only clinically proven path to healing from SIRS, really, it like in its very shortened version, has three essential steps, which is removing yourself from exposure, taking the biotoxin binder to help you remove the biotoxins, and then VIP spray, which helps correct the neuroinflammation and correct the gene expression, because we know that the chronic inflammation from SIRS turns on a lot of genes that shouldn't be turned on. And so VIP spray can help flip those back off. If you want to get really nerdy about this, there's a really cool test you can take called the Genie. We've done an episode about that. It's super helpful if you do stall in your progress of your SIRS treatment, because it'll show you those genes that have flipped on. And it's really cool if you get the Genie before and after, because then you can see those genes flipped off.
Yes. And another little bonus with the Genie test is that there is a part of the Genie test that will tell you if you are more or less likely to tolerate VIP spray. So that's a nice little bonus as well to get another reason to get the Genie test maybe before you do VIP.
So VIP is a peptide. It's normally produced in the human body. It's underproduced in people with SIRS. A lot of people, when they do their initial SIRS blood work, have VIP tested. Like it's in the normal set of blood work that the providers order. But the blood levels of VIP are not indicative of your like overall neuroinflammation status, because you can be producing VIP, but it's just you're too inflamed, you're too chronically inflamed. It's causing too much neuroinflammation for it really to be effective. And VIP is also like a moment in time blood draw. It's not indicative of like your prolonged VIP status. So I actually don't know why the providers pull that.
I've never been tested for VIP levels.
Oh,
So
okay.
that's not something I've been with two different practitioners at this point, technically three, and none of them ever tested it.
Yeah, I've had it tested. I think that the provider, some of them are just like blood work happy. I've had like a come to Jesus moment with my provider, and I was like, I have almost passed out the past 3 times I've gotten blood work. We need to like really like
Bring
condense
it
this
down.
down.
Yeah, bring it down a notch. Yeah, for sure.
So that's just a side note. They might test your VIP and it might be in range, but that effectively means nothing for how you should move forward in your treatment. So just something to keep in mind, and possibly something you can ask them to remove from your blood work. You can always ask them what they intend to use that information for. And if they can't back that up, maybe it's like one less vial. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, every little bit counts. I mean, we're talking about blood here. But yeah. one other just 'cause we mentioned the Genie test already, the other test that could be interesting to get before and after VIP, which is something that I have done, is the NeuroQuant. Because that is measuring your brain itself, and we did a whole episode on the NeuroQuant as well with Christian, so I'll link that as well. But it's good to actually see your baseline, like where your brain is at inflammation point or before VIP anyway, and then do VIP for a set amount of time, whatever your practitioner and you decide to do, and then test again to see if improvement has occurred and how much improvement, and also maybe to confirm that cool, you are done with VIP spray, which is a good thing to confirm because it is not cheap, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Barbara's saying this because the point of taking VIP at the end of surge treatment, again, it's to correct the neuroinflammation and turn off the genetic expression. And the NeuroQuant will actually show you that. It measures the volumetric changes in your brain, so it can actually show you how the neuroinflammation is being corrected by the VIP spray. So the VIP cost, as Barbara was saying, is quite expensive. From what I've seen, it's around $400 a month. And most of the providers recommend you take it for 6 to 12 months post surge treatment. So, like, once you have gotten to the point that you're starting to take VIP spray, most people take it for 6 to 12 months after that. And then, as ongoing maintenance, like, if you were re-exposed, you would go back onto VIP. So it's a good reason to keep in touch with your provider, make sure you're still on their books, so that you can have access to that as you need it.
Right.
So another thing to note is that you kind of ramp on to VIP. So your provider will typically prescribe like 1/1000th and have you do like one or two nasal sprays like ch-ch a day. And then you'll ramp up over time so that you get to, 1 to 100 and then eventually 1 to 1. And then you can go up to 12 sprays a day, but man, that's expensive. Super expensive. So it's finding the balance of how many sprays make you feel good. And we're going to talk about like what people typically experience on VIP. It's a matter of balancing like what makes you feel good without like having more sprays than are really effective for you.
Yeah, and that 12 number seems to be that point of diminishing returns, and that's why they say 12. I don't know that there's a danger in going higher than that, but generally from what I've gathered from the practitioner that prescribed it to me, that just they don't see much more benefit beyond 12. So that's the reason for that ceiling. And again, to control costs, to your point. And also with the sprays, I think I remember. It's been longer for me since I did VAP than you, but I remember that you like trade off nostrils. So that was kind of a fun trick to like remember, did I do the right one already? I think I did, so I'll do left. And of course, if you can always like mark on the refrigerator, or you can just remember you start with the right and then you go left, and it's a whole thing. But yeah, it's taking VIP spray is fun.
Yeah, and to that point, you mentioned the refrigerator, and you're saying that because it does have to be refrigerated. So it has a really short shelf life and it has to be refrigerated. So if you are traveling, it's a logistical issue. It's not unsurmountable. All you need to do is like get a little cooler. And I think we've talked about this before, one of those medical ice packs that you can refill so that once you're past security, you just get ice from a vendor and then, put it back in your
Your
little
TSA
insulated.
compliant flight cooler bag. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. So just another thing to keep in mind. One thing I did want to mention is that there is a pharmacist in Colorado, I think it's called Apothecary Shop with it's like shop, like Shoppe, like Apothecary Shop. So if you are looking for a cheaper resource, I'll leave a link to their pharmacy down below. But there's also the option of constituting your own, which is like chemistry levels of like saline to VIP. I personally wouldn't touch that. I don't think the cost savings is worth it to me, but that's just another option I wanted to mention.
Yeah, it's always fun when you're mixing your own stuff. And by fun, I mean nerve-wracking, and am I doing this right? And what if I die? Those are my thoughts. Maybe those aren't your thoughts. And if you're very comfortable,
So
I don't
maybe we should
actually.
talk about the risks of taking VIP because
Oh, sure. I don't actually know them. What are the risks? Oh, actually, I do. Never mind that I'm lying. But please, JC, you will explain it better than I will.
the biggest risk, and I'm saying that in quotes, if you're not watching, you're just listening, is it can raise your lipase. So once you start taking VIP, your provider should schedule a lipase blood draw within the same month, and then they'll just systematically check it over the next few months. raised lipase can cause pancreatitis. So that's why they're really concerned with checking it. But that is like the biggest side effect of VIP spray. But there is a subset of the SIRS population that can have poor tolerance to VIP spray, and that's what you were talking about with the genie.
Correct. Yeah. And that is also a reason for your doctor to go very slow with your with titrating it up. And so if you're wondering why the heck do I have to start at like 1/1000th or 1/100th, that is why. And I think that's probably a pretty safe bet for everybody. Go slow. It's going to feel like a little bit of a waste of money because it's going to be close to the same price as the full price, the full level of it. But just for your own safety, comfort, avoiding side effects, all that fun stuff, it's wise to follow your doctor's orders and titrate up. Unfortunately, that's the case with pretty much all the medications and things that you do within the Shoemaker protocol, but for good reason.
Yeah. So I'll just talk about my experience with VIP very briefly. I started VIP after I had done binders for about six months. I'd done binders for 6 months. My blood markers came back that I had really improved from SIRS, and this was really the last step. I had done the spike protein protocol, so it really seemed like I was out of exposure at that point. So I started taking VIP, and at first I didn't really notice anything at all. But after a couple weeks of taking it, I would just have these moments of feeling normal. Like I had never had SIRS. I didn't even know what SIRS was, like that normal. And it was just this like illuminating experience of like, oh my gosh, this is how good I can feel. It was amazing. And so at first, it was just moments. I'd be walking up the stairs and I would just be like, oh my gosh, I feel normal right now. And it would go away. And then the next day I might have another fleeting moment, but over time those moments became longer, and eventually those moments became hours, hours became days, days became weeks, weeks became months. And the really interesting thing is on the Shoemaker protocol, before they had the neuroquant, which would actually show you that your brain volume has recovered, the standard for moving someone off of VIP was, I feel normal now.
Yeah. Yes, and that's a great thing to bring up. You don't need to get the neuroquant. I think neuroquants are cool 'cause data and pictures of your brain and all that stuff. But you don't necessarily need to if you are looking to cut costs on every possible level that you can. Like you said, go by symptoms. And really, for the most part, that's a huge thing that all practitioners will lean into if they're if they're thorough, they will ask you about your symptoms and how they've improved over time. And that's a really great marker for knowing when you're ready for VIP and then also knowing when you're ready to be done with VIP.
And just briefly, the other use of VIP that we see within the Shoemaker protocol is for people who are having trouble tolerating the binders. Sometimes providers will prescribe a very low dose of VIP to kind of ramp you onto the binders. It's not very typical, I think, in our group. We've had people come and go. So I would say probably like out of it has to be like 1% or
Yeah.
less of people. I have not seen that very commonly at all.
Yeah, but it is an option. So if you're noticing you are on the first step, well, you've gotten, hopefully you've gotten out of exposure and you've started the binders and you are just having a major intensification of symptoms, that there are a couple things that your practitioner can do, and one of them is the low dose VIP protocol. But definitely talk to your practitioner about it, and if you are struggling with binder issues starting the binders, we will be doing an episode on that next. So stay tuned for that. But yes, that is another use for VIP spray, but it is seems to be rare.
And the important part of that is making sure you're out of exposure before you do the low dose VIP. It's so costly that if I were in a situation where I thought maybe I was being exposed in my home and I was like, well, maybe I can take VIP spray and it'll be fine. I can tolerate the binders and I'll heal. No, I would spend that money that would be going to the VIP spray towards remediation, towards testing, towards working with an IEP, an indoor environmental specialist.
Professional.
Professional. I was like, what is the P? professional. So that I was making the protocol as efficient as possible.
Awesome. And if you guys have noticed, obviously, JC and I have SIRS. That's why the partnerships are so great, because we help each other remember what all these acronyms mean. And
Yeah,
I love that we do that for each other.
if I'm especially dumb today, like more than normal, I just want to throw it out there that I did fly internationally like 2 days ago, and my brain is still in a different time zone.
Yes, that is also very true, and I'm so glad that you're still here to record. but yeah, I'll briefly bring up my VIP experience. I know I've talked about it before, but I was prescribed VIP spray, probably unfortunately while I was still in exposure. And of course, I was dealing with my doctor via telehealth, so he wasn't even in the same state. So there's limited amount of information that my doctor was able to go off of to even know that I was out of exposure. So for whatever reason, we decided to move forward on it. And it was probably too early in retrospect. But that said, I started at a very low dose, 1/100th, so not even as low as it could have been, but still low. And I am an impatient type. So when I did that low dose and I felt absolutely nothing, I told my doctor, can we just skip to the full thing? And he was very nice about it. He said, I would rather we not, but if we do it and it hurts, I'll tell you I told you so. And if we do it and you're fine, then you can tell me that. And I said, I'm okay with this bet. I'm good with that. It was a totally lighthearted, nice exchange, and I was fine. So I got to say I told you so. That said, I did end up discontinuing because, again, I think I was still in exposure and kind of had to go backwards a little bit in the protocol. But I think those I just want to share that conversation in case that might help you listening, if you feel like you want to advocate for yourself in that way and you want to push forward, or at least understand that the option is always there. It's always worth having a conversation with your practitioner to figure out where their comfort level is and where you would like to be as well. Always, always ask. There's no harm in asking.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's all I have to say about VIP, all I want to say about VIP, all I could say about VIP.
I support that. I feel like we covered all of that. But of course, if you are looking for more information and more of other people's stories about how they felt on VIP and what their process was, that is why we have the SIRS group over at thesirsgroup.com. It's a whole group full of people that are going through the SIRS treatment plan just like you. And so we share a lot of information and experiences there. So if you would like that, join us over there. Otherwise, we will see you next week for another podcast episode.
See you then.